There was a couple who lived about 2 hours away from Jerusalem. They'd been to the capital for Passover week, and this was a Passover unlike any other they'd ever known. Jesus had been crucified. They had hoped that this prophet from Galilee, who was saying so many amazing things, they knew it was God's stuff, who was doing so many amazing things, they knew this was God's stuff, they'd hoped that finally he might be the one who would save his people from all the oppression that Jerusalem had been under for 600 years. And instead of saving his people from their enemies, Jesus was killed by their enemies. And so they're walking home, talking on the road with each other about the fact that would there ever be a saviour? Because the one they'd hoped in it had all fallen apart. Now, they're not the only ones walking home after Passover. There's crowds of people everywhere. So they take no notice when one of the other travellers comes and walks alongside them and says to them, why do you guys look so glum? So I get the impression there, the whole body language said, we're disappointed. Our lives have fallen apart. Our hopes are dashed and their shoulders are hung and they're looking down towards the ground. And without even taking any notice of who'd come to walk with them, they said, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem that doesn't know what happened? Everybody's been talking about what happened to the one that we hoped would be our saviour. We thought he was a prophet, but he ended up handed over, crucified. It happened 3 days ago. He's dead. And then, to make matters worse, the women went out to the tomb this morning and they found the body was gone. It's just like they can't even leave him be now. He's dead. They saw a vision of angels, and so others went and confirmed that the body was gone from the tomb. It's just like, this is the worst time of our lives. And the traveller spoke to them and said, you guys are a little bit slow, aren't you, to understand what the prophets were talking about? Didn't you know that God's anointed needed to enter the doorway to his reign by going through the suffering of his people, by entering into their pain on their behalf as his way of dealing with it? Because his way of dealing with it is not shouting in the streets, grabbing forces, crushing what's evil. His way of dealing with it was taking on the pain, the anguish, the failure, the conflict of the world, carrying it in his own body as the way of taking it away. And so this traveller opened up that story to them and told them that's what God's people had been experiencing for the last 2,000 years. So he started with the foundational books and made his way through the prophets, the whole story of the Old Testament, saying this is what the people of God had been experiencing and suffering for centuries. So when their king comes to save them, he has to enter into that story. He has to enter into that pain, into that suffering. That's what he's called to do. And they're listening to this conversation. They're utterly fascinated by that. They'd never considered that that might be what had happened over this Passover. And they reach the place where they're almost home, and as the roads part, they're going home, but they don't want the conversation to end. So they say to him, look, please, don't stop talking. We want to hear more about this. Come to our place. Don't go on. Look, the sun's going to be down in a little while. You need to come. And he agrees, and he comes to them, sits down at their table, and they prepare a meal. And then something unusual happens. If you're a guest in someone's home, you wait until the host takes care of you. But this guest doesn't wait for them. He waits on them. He takes the bread and he gives thanks as if it's his house, as if it's his meal. And he breaks it apart and he reaches out his hands and gave it to them. And I don't know what it was in that moment, but they looked at him and they saw him for the very first time. I don't know whether they saw some nail prints in his hands or if they saw something in his eyes, but this was the moment when they realized who they had been walking with all along. The Savior had not instantly set everything right. But he had come back from death. Death is like the ultimate enemy that each of us faces at the end of our journey. If you're into computer games, it's the boss at the end of the level, right? We all face that enemy. And Jesus had faced that enemy and defeated it not by force, but by giving his life. He was back. He was walking among them. He was present in the community. He was present with them at the meal. And you know what? That had changed everything in the entire world. The fact that he was back, that he'd defeated death, had changed everything. And so Luke puts together a sentence to try to help us understand the significance of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He takes the very first meal that happened in the Bible and he recrafts the way that it was described to let us know the difference that Jesus makes. In the very first meal in the Bible in Genesis 3:7, it says, "Then the eyes of them both were opened and they recognized their shame." This is a couple who'd chosen to become independent from the God who'd provided their meal for them, provided them with everything in the entire garden, but reserved one tree for the sovereign alone. And they'd tried to grasp what belonged to the sovereign, the knowledge of good and evil. They tried to take that for themselves. And what they gained was not wisdom, but insight into their own nakedness, their own inadequacy, their own shame in isolation from God. The eyes of them both were opened and they recognized their shame. Now Luke takes that sentence and recrafts it to describe what happened at the couple from the Emmaus Road. In Luke 24 and verse 31, "Then the eyes of them both were opened and they recognized him." Because the resurrected Jesus, the one who's back from the dead, who's alive after he's conquered death, changes everything. He changes our shame. He changes our nakedness. He changes our isolation, our being cut off from God and from each other. He transforms all of that. It's his presence that changes everything. So every day we sit at his table. And when we go to break bread and share our meal with each other, Jesus is the host. Do you recognize him at the beginning of the meal? Do you pray and just recognize that this is his provision for us? The eyes of them both were open and they recognized him. Instead of our shame, our failure, instead of the world's brokenness, the stuff that is so deadly, everything changes. Because Jesus is back from the dead, breaking death's power in his gentle, self-giving way, restoring God's reign to a people who've been crushed and are now being restored. So walk with Jesus in the everyday. He's always there, whether you recognize him or not. He's always there walking with you. Walking with Jesus is the everyday experience. Sit at table with him. When you open your hearts up to each other, know that Jesus is present always. Also, he's the one who's present at every table, at every coffee that you have. Whatever you're opening up, whatever you're sharing, he's always there. He's at the table. He's always at the meal. Walking with him, doing meals with him, sharing life with him. May your eyes be opened to see him in the everyday.